Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good afternoon, everybody. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Tuesday, April the 17th. And we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by our very own Bobby Melendez from right here at DolphinsTalk.com to talk some mock drafts. Bobby, he released his third mock draft a couple days ago. We'll talk about that, and we will also talk about and give our thoughts on the mock draft that was released earlier today by Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network and NFL.com. So this is going to be a show that's very heavy on mock drafts. We're going to talk a lot of mock drafts and scenarios and what we think and just share some thoughts on how we see some things playing out. And if this plays out, they might go here, and if this plays out, they might go there. So this will be a heavy show with mock drafts. Before we get to that, though, there is some news to talk about and some website announcements. I'm going to start off with the website announcements. First and foremost, be sure to check me out this Friday on Sirius XM NFL Radio between 4 and 5 o'clock. I will be on Sirius XM NFL Radio with Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin on Moving the Chains, talking Miami Dolphins. So be sure to check that out. I don't have an exact time I'll be on. They just told me I will be on between 4 and 5 p.m. Once I get an exact time, I will let you know right here in this podcast, or follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, and I will tweet out the time I will be on. I'm not sure if I'm going to be on at the top of the hour or somewhere in the middle, but I will be on Sirius XM NFL Radio this Friday, April 20th, between 4 and 5 p.m. talking Miami Dolphins, and I will also be making the pick in their mock draft for the Miami Dolphins as I am their representative for the Miami Dolphins. So be sure to check that out. I also think the show, I think there's a replay late at night, at midnight or so. I will find that out as well. So if you can hear it live, maybe you can catch the replay. But I've been on with those guys in the past. They're great guys, big supporters of our website at DolphinsTalk.com. So this Friday, between 4 and 5, I will be on Sirius XM NFL Radio. The other announcement is we have a new podcast coming to this website. It'll be hosted by Jeff and Landon. Jeff and Landon are a father-son duo, and they're going to be starting up a podcast here at DolphinsTalk.com talking about the Miami Dolphins. So this podcast that you are listening to right now, it's not going nowhere. We're still going to have on the same great people we always have on, and we will be here each and every day. But there's going to be a second podcast added to our website, Jeff and Landon. I was supposed to have them on today for a little bit to talk about it, but due to some conflicts, we couldn't make it work. So I will have them on later this week or this weekend to talk about their new podcast. But there is a second Miami Dolphins podcast that is coming to DolphinsTalk.com. It will be hosted by Jeff and Landon, so be on the lookout for that. As I've said the past few weeks, our website here has grown a lot over the past year, a real lot. Like I said, we hit over 500,000, half a million listens to this podcast just in the first 90 days of the year. That's January, February, March. We hit over 500,000 listens, and we are very grateful and very humbled for all of you who listen to this podcast. Our website, I don't like talking about the numbers too much, but it's been through the roof. Our best year ever by far. So, and as you can tell by the level of guests we have on the podcast with the former players, the top-notch media personalities and such, this website, it's done very well over the past year, and it is going to continue to grow. We have so much new content in the works about to come. I am just so excited for it. I can't share all of it with you now because some of it's still being worked out, but this is the first one with this second podcast being added to the website, so I can't announce that. That will be starting up real soon, so there's a second podcast, but we got so much other new stuff that is I think you will all really like and enjoy, that I will be announcing in time. Some of it's a little ways away, but some of it's not. Some of it is also ready to go and will be announced soon, so be on the lookout for that. Now, enough with the website stuff. Let's talk about the Miami Dolphins. Not much taking place today in the world of the Miami Dolphins. The only real news to even talk about is that today Frank Gore and Danny Amendola met with the media. And, you know, they said all the right things. These guys, they have been around the block, you know, a lot. So they said all the right things. But a couple things worth sharing. Frank Gore, he's very happy to be playing in South Florida. Very happy to be in Miami. Let's see. The part he's most happy about, let me see if I can find some quotes and share, that his children, they get to see him every day. He knows Adam Gase from his time in San Francisco, and Adam Gase knows how competitive he is. Frank Gore said he thought, and there was talk, he might have been drafted by the Miami Dolphins some 12 years ago or so, and he was very upset it didn't happen. Here's a good quote. When training camp comes, all my guys in the running back room will see the way I work. And he also talked about how important it is for the team to be bonded. He said, in San Francisco, we were all like brothers. So Frank Gore is bringing the leadership by far. By far. He is ready to go. Another thing, Frank Gore, this is a good quote. I'm here to still play. Says he's been on teams where older guys ride the coattails of younger players. I'm not here to do that. Frank Gore wants to play. He's here to play. That's pretty much all the quotes from Gore, or at least all the good ones. Like I said yesterday, Frank Gore is a great addition, but again, he's 35 years old, and you have to be prepared that come August, if he does lose a step or two, you got to have a fallback option. That's why I am not against the Miami Dolphins heading out there and signing C.J. Anderson to a nice little contract. Because Frank Gore at 35, you know, God forbid something happens to Kenyon Drake, you don't want to turn to Frank Gore and have to hand him the ball, you know, 18 times a game. At that age, that might be too much for him. Everyone loves Frank Gore. It's a great story. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's a local guy who is signed with the hometown team where he will end his NFL career, but you have to be prepared. So Frank Gore saying all the right things. Danny Amendola. He also met with the media, said all the right things. He had some interesting quotes. One quote, you can tell, this must have been drilled in his head from his time with the Patriots. I'm here to be coachable and follow directions. I'm sure that was drilled in his head by Bill Belichick and the rest of the staff in New England. He said that today when talking to the media. He said, when the time comes for me to lead, I'll lead. Right now I'm trying to learn and adapt the playbook. So Amendola there. Amendola said in his time in Miami already, he has seen players respond to Adam Gase. He said, Miami is a great place to play football. I love what Coach Gase does, and I'm excited to be part of this group. So both guys, you know, they said the right things. They didn't say anything where they put their foot in their mouth. And both guys understand they're here in part to be leaders on this team, that they've been in the league many years, and they've each won many games and played in big games throughout their career. But they're here in part to lead as well as play. And both guys said as much today to the press that they know that. So that's pretty much it right now taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Not much else going on. So let's get right to my chat with Bobby Melendez from right here at DolphinsTalk.com as we break down some mock drafts. Bobby Melendez is with me tonight on the podcast. How are you doing, Bobby?
Hey, man, I'm doing just fine. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. And you released a mock draft here on our website the other day. Is this your third or fourth one you released? It's your fourth, right?
I think it's my fourth Dolphins mock draft and the fifth full-round mock draft.
Okay. So let's go over this review a little. And for those of you who are wondering, you will put out one more next week before the draft. So this, because look, as stuff happens and you hear more rumors and stuff. This stuff is always going to change. It's always going to be fluid. And so next week you'll have out one more. But let's talk about this one. In this one, you had the Miami Dolphins in round one. You had them making a small trade up to pick number six and selecting Josh Rosen, the quarterback out of UCLA. Before you talk about that, though, I should also mention you also had the Buffalo Bills trade up to pick number two and select quarterback Sam Darnold. So that's why Rosen is there at six for Miami, for them to make a trade. What was your thoughts behind Miami making a move like this in your mock draft?
Yeah, well, first off, my mock drafts go based off what I'm reading, multiple reports, the rumors, and team needs, and basically my own big board. Right now, if you remember a few mock drafts ago on the website, I had Miami trading up to six to get Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was the flavor of the month at that time, but the reason why I had him trading up to six was because the Colts had just recently traded down, and Tony Pauline had reported that the Dolphins were one of the main teams trying to trade up to six to grab a quarterback. Now, in that report, he had stated was that the two quarterbacks that Miami was targeting was, of course, Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen, though, was the primary target, or is the primary target for the Dolphins, not Baker Mayfield. I went ahead with Baker Mayfield because, of course, you know, Dolphins were meeting with him multiple times. It was just the, you know, the obvious choice. But as the report started coming out that Baker Mayfield was going to the Jets at three, that's how the last mock draft went, and that's how this mock draft went, Baker Mayfield going to three. But that report came back up. And if you look at the article in the mock draft, I posted that a tweet referencing what Tony Pauline was talking about, that the Dolphins are looking to trade up, and the quarterback that they're targeting is Josh Rosen. So I went ahead and went back to the trade up to six to get Josh Rosen for the Dolphins.
Yep, absolutely. And what did you give up? It was just a third-round pick, correct?
It was the same. It was the same value picks, the same draft picks that we did for, or what I did for Baker Mayfield. It was swapping the first round picks, 11 for six, the yep. third round pick, and next year's second round pick. And I know a lot of people, will say, and that, I haven't gotten that for this one, but excuse me, that's not the right amount of value, and you know anything could happen on draft day. But going based off the NFL trade value chart and the history of trading down from the 6th to even the 12th to 11th pick, that is the right value that I found and that I was able to add for the 6th overall pick. Now, of course, it's a quarterback, so, of course, the Colts GM could play hardball with Miami and Tannenbaum could Tannenbaum it and trade a lot more. right now, my projection is just based off the NFL value, the trade value chart, which was made famous by former Dolphins coach Jimmy Johnson, the Cowboys coach, and then also the history of that trade down. So, yeah, just third-round pick and then next year's second-round pick for the 6th overall pick to get Josh Rosen.
Yeah, and that makes sense because when a team like Miami here or the Buffalo Bills are moving up, they're only moving up for a quarterback, north position. So teams like the Giants, teams like the Colts, teams like the Broncos, whoever might be sliding down, they know that. And they know they have the leverage because that is such an important position in this league. So makes a lot of sense, and I think that would actually be a fair trade. And if that possibility is out there come draft night, I would not be opposed to the Miami Dolphins making a move like that. In round two, you have the Miami Dolphins taking a tight end. Excuse me. You have them taking a tight end with pick number 42, Hayden Hurst from South Carolina. I like him a lot, Hurst. He's got size, a little bit older. But what was your thought process with taking a tight end in round number two?
Well, and that's really just because that Miami, I did the trade, and they lost the third-round pick, so the draft got a little shorter, and, you know, we're thinking about best player available, and we're thinking about filling out the needs. Hayden Hurst was still on the board at that point for me in my mock draft, so I was able to grab him. Now, the thing about Hayden Hurst over these other guys, I know people talk about Mark Andrews, and they talk about Gesicki from Penn State. And even Dallas Goedert, who was off the board at that point, and I know Miami's shown a lot of interest in him. But Miami is looking for – I know Miami has shown a lot of interest in Hayden Hurst, but Miami is looking for, in my opinion, because of the running game, how important the running game has been for Miami the past couple of years, is a tight end who can not only receive and be that number one guy that we've never had in, as a receiver, but also a blocker. Hayden Hurst is the number one guy as a tight end who can do it all. He can block and he can receive. I know he's a little older. I know a lot of people, scouts and NFL analysts, and are a little put off by his age. He'll be 25 at the start of the season. That's an old rookie. However, at that point, he offers the best value compared to what's left at linebacker. Rashawn Evans is off the board, of course. Leighton Vander Esch is off the board. And there's nobody really there who I thought was worth at that pick, even the defensive tackle. So Hayden Hurst was my pick because he can block and he can receive. If Miami didn't make that trade in my mock draft, if I didn't go ahead and do that, and let's say we keep those picks, or I did what the last mock draft was trade down, then I would have probably waited for later in the draft to get a tight end like Dalton Schultz from Stanford or Ian Thomas. Those two guys I like a lot as well.
Yep. And in this mock, you had no pick for him around 3, as that was sent to the Colts. Round 4, you had Miami selecting a linebacker, Fred Warner from BYU. Talk a little bit about Fred.
Well, again, obviously everybody understands, if you watched the Dolphins last year and you didn't realize that linebacking unit was one of the weakest. I know a lot of people like Stephon Anthony, but really, you know, what did he show? Right now we only have Kiko Alonso and Quan McMillan. Quan got hurt in a special teams play, blocking for a punt return or kick return. So Miami needs to do something at the linebacker position. If Fred Warner offers you so much more besides being a linebacker, this guy plays like a safety. Miami needs a coverage linebacker. Kiko could not do it. Kiko couldn't block a receiver, couldn't cover a running back, couldn't cover a tight end. We need someone who can do that. That's why I'm looking at those type of linebackers. In my last mock draft, Mike, as you remember, I took Leighton Vander Esch, and I kind of got a little bit of heat. But that's Fred Warner is that type of player. He could cover those guys. I mean, he plays like a safety. He had the final year, he had more interceptions in his junior year, but in this final year, had one interception but 5 pass breakups, played all 13 games, and had 87 tackles. And the guy is respected in his locker room, and we know how important that is to Miami. So I just think and I know Miami's showed interest in him, so I think he fits that perfect mold. If he's available at 123, I would not be surprised if Miami took him, because that's the type of linebacker they need. They need a coverage linebacker, not a tackling guy. You know, this guy can tackle pretty darn good. They need a guy who can cover Rob Gronkowski. They need a guy who can cover those running backs, because we don't have that right now.
Yep, absolutely. That is the type of guy we need. We need more warm bodies at linebackers, guys who are a little bit faster, and guys who can make some plays, because right now the Miami Dolphins do not have that. Your other pick in round 4, you have Miami going with a defensive tackle out of Georgia, Trenton Thompson. Let's talk a little bit about Trenton here, because he's a name I've read a little about, and I think he could be a guy who could be a sleeper in this draft. What are your thoughts on Trenton Thompson?
Yeah, and he is. I believe he is a sleeper. I think a lot of people are not talking about him as much as they should have. Now, the thing is, I know a lot of people would get on me or getting on me because I waited a little longer on getting a defensive tackle for the Dolphins. I'm in the minority that believes that Miami, because they lost or they released Sue, I still don't think that defensive tackle is the weakest unit. I don't think that's really a big need. I think Miami could wait till after the draft and sign a free agent to kind of balance out that room, or they could draft somebody like the Thompson. This guy has a high motor. I mean, he's going to need a little bit of time. He's not going to come in right away and be that, you know, nobody can replace what Sue did. I don't care what anybody says. Sue did a lot for Miami. He opened those lanes for Cameron Wake and, not Andre Barrett last year, but it will do, you know. But he did that, and nobody can replace that. However, we have a lot of good young guys, Jordan Phillips, Devin Godshaw, and then you got, of course, Vincent Taylor. I think we can add another body in the room. I don't think we have to jump up and draft a guy high to do that. I think Trenton Thompson, with his high motor, come in right away, come as a rotational defensive tackle, kind of with Godshaw and Taylor. I think that could be a force on that offense, on that defensive line. And plus, he could play a little bit of the edge rusher as well. So he is somebody I think people are sleeping on. If he's available at that pick and Dolphins take him, fans should be excited because of what he can do and the ceiling that he has.
Yep, absolutely. And with the last 3 picks, we don't have to go over each one individually, but just as a group, you got in round 6, the Miami Dolphins taking wide receiver Tre'Quan Smith from Central Florida. And in round seven, you have them taking Josh Adams, a running back from Notre Dame. And with the last pick in round seven that they have, you have them taking Eddie Pinheiro, the kicker from Florida, which I think would be a great pick because Miami Dolphins need a kicker in the worst way. Just talk briefly about those three picks and what your thought process was behind those.
Sure. Yeah. Well, obviously, like you said, for the last pick with Eddie Pinheiro, he's been the pick for a while with the Dolphins for me. I think, you know, he just fits that mold. I think we need a kicker. If we could get him at that pick or any part of the draft in the late rounds, I think that would be a win for Miami. We need a guy who could be there long-term and can develop. And he was the most accurate kicker in college. But those two other guys, Tre'Quan Smith, the wide receiver, he's another sleeper to me. He's a guy that I'm surprised that most scouts or analysts, excuse me, in the NFL shows, they're not talking about this guy. He is potentially, I know a lot of people go, why do we need another wide receiver? And when they're, what they're including in is, of course, we're talking about Parker and Amendola and Stills and Wilson and Dakeen Grant. But those other guys are the other guys that we're talking about. You guys are talking about in that court, in that wide receiver room, are just camp bodies. People are forgetting that Devontae Parker is on a one-year deal. This is his contract year. He has not shown anything, Mike, and I know you will. You can hit the hammer on the head on this, but he has not shown anything to us at this point. Whether
yeah,
it's always getting
I'm not
injured
a fan.
Or when he's on. I know it. And, or if he's on the field, I know a lot of people were high on him because of Jay Cutler last year. You know, Cutler can bomb it out, blah, blah, blah. He didn't do a dang thing. He got hurt again. So I can't foresee Miami re-signing Devontae Parker. Plus, you got Amendola. He only signed a one-year deal. He's a veteran. Who knows if he'll come back or not? But we need a big body wide receiver. We need a deep threat, and we need a red zone target. Tre'Quan Smith, watching him in Central Florida, he helped lead that team to an undefeated season. He could be that potential sleeper, and he could be that potential weapon for the Dolphins for Ryan Tannehill and or Josh Rosen or whoever we draft at quarterback, because we will draft somebody. I just know it.
Yep, but the thing with Amendola, he did sign a two-year deal, but pretty much after this year, he can be released, and it's not going to hurt the cap.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It's essentially a one-year deal, essentially, but he did sign a two-year deal. And the other thing to remember is Miami right there has a lot of depth, and they could – I'm not sure who they trade, but if a team wanted Jakeem Grant or if Leonte Carew had a nice camp, a team that's really hard up for a wide receiver might give Miami a seventh-round pick in 2019 for one of those guys. And if they did take someone here in the draft, like you said, late, like Tre'Quan Smith or somebody of that ilk who was playing well in camp, well, it's just an opportunity to maybe move someone else, pick up a pick. And, you know, so, yeah, it would make sense to take a wide receiver there. And also, you also have to think, guys, for the practice squad, a wide receiver would be a fit there should they move on, like you said, from Parker and Amendola after this year, and plus as always, special teams is always a need. So if someone has a knack of being really good on special teams, that's a way for somebody to make the roster too.
And that's another thing too. Laurent Carew is a non-factor for me. He has not shown anything
nope.
up to this point. I know a lot of people say, well, he's never had an opportunity. Well, players create opportunities for themselves. He hasn't done that. He never showed anything in preseason. He never really showed anything when he had a chance to be on the field. Kind of like Parker. Parker has flashes, but he doesn't consecutively give you something. In regards to Jakeem Grant, I think Miami, of course, he's a receiver, but I think Miami's going to use him in so many other different roles that I don't think drafting a receiver is going to impact him like it will impact Laurent Carew or a Devontae Parker. I think he'll be in that kind of, you know, they'll put him in the backfield. He'll be that screen pass. Of course, he's a returner and et cetera, but I think they're going to use him more as like kind of like an explosive little weapon and like kind of like a positionless type of thing on the offense compared to Devontae and Laurente. I think Laurent Carew. I think receiver could be a possibility of that pick. Now, going on to Josh Adams at 227, the running back out of Notre Dame. Now, this was before C.J. Anderson got released, and I know this was a little debate back and forth. Now, even if C.J. Anderson, my personal belief, Mike, even if C.J. Anderson was to come to the Dolphins, because, you know, Mike Gates loves his guys, and, you know, Anderson is a productive running back, it makes sense that Anderson could be a target for the Dolphins and possibly sign with Miami. Now, I don't think that would take Miami out of the running for a running back. This was before that possibility. I had him always drafting a running back a little earlier, but since we did the trade down, we lost a pick. So I waited till the end of the round or at the end of the draft. And Josh Adams was still available in my projections. So let's say we signed T.A.J. Anderson, we got Frank Gore, and we have Kenyon Drake. If you look at the history of the Dolphins, before Tannenbaum, during Tannenbaum, you look at, of course, you know, you have Jay Ajayi, the most recent example. You got Reggie Bush, Lamar Miller. There's so many little examples here and there. But Miami has a knack of not really valuing their running backs, no matter how successful they are. They're not willing to give them the money to keep them here. Or they just trade them, like Adam Gase did with Ajayi. So if you look, Frank Gore is at the end of his career. I know he said he's not here for a farewell season, but let's be realistic. Most likely, this is a one-year kind of thing here. Kenyon Drake, he was explosive in the second half of the season. We don't know what we're going to get this coming up season. And then you got, of course, let's say it's C.J. Anderson. Could it be a 1-2-year deal? Miami's always been a 2-3-back kind of team. So I don't think it eliminates them from drafting a running back. If you wait this long and you get Josh Adams, I think this would be a home run for Miami. Yep. This guy doesn't have to start. He doesn't have to start. He doesn't have to, you know, you're not putting him in right away. I'm surprised a lot of people, there's another pick that I would be surprised at, or a lot of this prospect is a guy I'm surprised that most people aren't talking about as much. Of course, he benefited from that offensive line. You had Quentin Nelson, who, Mike, you know, I'm all over for. That guy's, you know, legit. You got Mike McGlinchey, the offensive tackle. Now, I know a lot of people say this guy was good only because of his offensive line. Well, Miami has a pretty damn decent offensive line on paper.
On paper.
We don't know how it'll be next season, you know. However, this guy is a big, powerful back. I mean, he's built like a monster. You know, you could put him in, you kind of keep him as a rotational back. In his first year, obviously, if you have those two guys or even those three guys, he's not going to get a lot of playing time, but special teams, you know, preseason, get a little reps in there. But next season, let's say it's Kenyon Drake and Josh Adams. This guy could be your third down back. He could be your goal line option year one, year two. I would be excited if the Dolphins were able to get Josh Adams.
Yep, absolutely. And if you want to see the rest of Bobby's first round mock draft, go to the website, dolphinstalk.com. He's got the whole first round mock up. And, you know, it's your typical mock draft. It's got most of it I do agree with. One thing I don't, and I want to ask your thoughts on, is one thing that really, really made me look twice, was you have Mason Rudolph going pick number 22, and you have Lamar Jackson going pick number 28. What do you like about Mason Rudolph so much? Because I got to be honest, I just don't see it with that kid. I don't see it. I see a big stiff. I just do. What do you like about Rudolph so much that you – I mean, I think he might go late round one, so that part I don't think is wrong.
Sure.
I would not take him over Lamar Jackson, though. So what are your thoughts on Mason Rudolph and why you have him above Lamar Jackson?
Okay, well, remember, with my mock drafts, I'm going based off what I'm reading, report, and everything else. The Giants, you have the Patriots, and there's another team in there as well.
Saints.
Jacksonville. The Saints, yeah. Well, those two, I'm talking about teams that are interested or are watching Mason Rudolph at the end of that first round. Okay, so I have Mason Rudolph above Lamar Jackson, really just because of the fact that the Giants prefer, or at least what I've been reading, are preferring Mason Rudolph over Lamar Jackson. But for me, I'm not down on Mason Rudolph. I like Mason Rudolph. I like him for the Dolphins in like the second round or whatever. If he was, you know, if we didn't get a quarterback, I wouldn't be upset if they did grab him. However, you know, because I know a lot of people say he doesn't have that big arm or whatever. When I was watching tape on this guy, I watched three of his games, only his snaps. I loved what I saw. He quick release, you know, he was good pocket awareness. He aired it out. Even though they said he didn't have a big arm, when I'm watching him, I'm seeing him throw some cannons. He's throwing over these guys and it's putting it right into the breadbasket in the touchdown, in the end zone. I like Mason Rudolph. Now, realistically, would I pick Lamar Jackson over Mason Rudolph? No. Me personally, I will not. Lamar Jackson is above him And, you know, really on these other guys, he can offer you so much more just because he's explosive as a quarterback, but also as a runner. He could score a touchdown with you with his arm, or he could score a touchdown for you with his legs. But I'm only going based off what I was reading and hearing with the Giants. And I think that if the Giants trade down to 22, let's say they make that big trade with Buffalo, which it's most likely going to happen, in my opinion, I think Mason Rudolph could be that pick to be their heir apparent to Eli Manning over Lamar Jackson. And he doesn't really fit the Giants' offense. You're going to have to kind of mold to him. And I don't think their head coach or their offense is going to do that, because you still have, of course, you have Eli Manning. They're used to kind of running with him. You have, of course, Davis Webb behind him. So if they were to get Mason Rudolph, I think it would be an easier transition for them.
Yep. And now let's transition to, there was another mock draft released earlier today by Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network and NFL.com. He's one of the guys I really respect. He's up there with Mike Mayock, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper. He's in that group. This guy knows this stuff. He is a great reporter, and he follows this, you know, just as well as anybody else. And let's talk about his mock real quick. I got to be honest. Most of it, I think, is spot on. But I think he has two glaring mistakes in this mock. The top 10, I think, is right. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. It's pretty much just like every other top 10 that you will see out there. Sam Darnold, Saquon Barkley, Mayfield, Chubb, Josh Allen, Denzel Ward, Quentin Nelson, Tremaine Edmonds, Roquan Smith, and Minka Fitzpatrick. So that top 10, no problem with that. Where he loses me is pick 11 at Miami, where it's not even the player so much, it's just who he has them taking when there's some other people on the board. He has Miami taking Vita Vea, defensive tackle from Washington, when Josh Rosen's still on the board. That is just number one. If Rosen's on the board at number 11, Miami will take him. Number two, yeah. If they don't take Rosen, they will trade out of that spot to somebody who will. Okay, they're not going to let him go right to pick number 12 and the Buffalo Bills. So I think he lost me there. That was the first place he lost me, because I don't think that makes any sense at all, where he has Miami taking a defensive tackle over a possible franchise quarterback. What are your thoughts on that, Bobby?
I agree, and you know that I'm a fan of Vita Vea. You know, I had him in my second mock draft, I believe. I had him as the pick for the Dolphins after we had just released Ndamukong Suh. And he, if Josh Rosen's on the board at this point, there's no way Miami's going to let him go to the Buffalo Bills at 12, or the Giants. They're gonna try to trade that pick if they're not looking to get Josh Rosen. But I believe that I think that they would be all over that. They're going to take Josh Rosen at that. So I agree with you. Even though Vita Vea is, more agile, Halade, forget his name now, but he is an athletic defensive tackle. He's a powerhouse. He would be a great pick for Miami, but not with Josh Rosen on the board. And again, like I brought up earlier, I don't think defensive tackle is really that much of a pressing need at that point.
Correct.
There's other players. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying it's a need, but at round one, if they took him, I wouldn't be upset with it. That's fine. All depending on who's left on the board. But it's a need, but if they don't take one to round three or four or so, that's fine too. It's not that much of a need.
Exactly. And, you know, like you said, there are so many other players left on that board in his mock draft that I think Miami would pick over Vita Vea just because of – or they could trade down and get those guys. And I know, you know how I feel. Of course, they had Doran James going to 17. I know
that was my next thing I'm going to get to. Yeah, that was my next one where he lost me.
Exactly. And, you know, that to me, I was kind of like, and then, of course, you know, if Miami were to trade down, let's say for whatever reason, there's other guys there. I mean, you have Leighton Vander Esch, who you know I'm a fan of, Mike, Rashawn Evans from Alabama. Those are linebackers. Those are what Miami needs. So I was a little surprised he didn't try to, you know, he didn't do that. But again, he's a guy, like you said, who I respect, who I, you know, when he talks, I listen. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. But I agree. He lost me at that pick. I think Josh Rosen should have been the pick and would be the pick if that was the scenario.
Yep. And like you said, a pick. And then the other spot where he lost me. And once again, this is actually probably one of the better mock drafts I've seen out there as of right now, because this does make a lot of sense, except for that. And the other spot where he lost me was he has safety from Florida State, James, falling to number 17, being picked by the Los Angeles Chargers. There's no way that James will get picked. He'll get picked after Hayden Hurst. He'll get picked after Darius Geis. I mean, James is one of the top players in this draft. James, he most likely will go top 12-ish, somewhere in that range, most likely. But he's not falling to pick 17. So that's those are the two spots where Daniel Jeremiah lost me. But overall, it's a pretty solid mock. It's a very good mock. It makes a lot of sense. Look, at the top of this draft, you're going to have quarterbacks go flying off in whichever order they go. One, the Browns. Some people think Sam Darnold. Some think Josh Allen. Whatever. One's going to go one. The other one will go no later than probably three. Giants at pick number two. It sounds like, unless they got the ultimate smokescreen of all time up, it sounds like they're not going to go with a quarterback. Of course, that might change all depending on who goes one. But it sounds like they're gonna go with either Saquon Barkley or Chubb. Fine, makes sense. Jets at three, you know they're taking a quarterback. Just a matter of who. Four with the Browns. They'll probably trade out most likely, or they'll pick either Saquon Barkley or Chubb, who's ever left. Boom. All makes sense there, whichever order you want to mix it up in. When you get to five and six is where it gets interesting. That's where this draft, the important picks in next week's draft are 2, 5, and 6. Two, what the Giants do. If they take a quarterback, it changes everything. And any chance the Miami Dolphins of landing one of these guys in round one goes completely out the window. It's just not going to happen. If they don't take one there and they go either Saquon Barkley or Chubb, then picks 5 and 6 now become in play. Nobody knows what the Broncos will do. Nobody knows. They might take a quarterback. They might not. Nobody knows. And at pick 6, you have the Colts, new head coach, with just a miserable roster. That roster is no offensive linemen, no strength up front on defense, nobody in the secondary. They got a bunch of picks from the Jets. They're probably going to look to add a bunch more. So those are two prime trade down spots. Even if they don't, and they sit put and take like Nelson and Ward or something, now pick number 7 and 8 with Tampa Bay and Chicago, those two teams will trade down for almost nothing probably at that point, because it wouldn't be that far of a trade down to either pick 11 or 12 or even 15 with Arizona if one of them wanted a quarterback. So in this draft next week, the key picks are 2, 5, and 6. That will tell the story of this draft and let you know what the Miami Dolphins will do. Quarterback, I don't know. If one of them's there, I think Miami would pull the trigger. If one's on the board at number 11 where they don't even have to make a move, they're going to take them. But if they have to move up a few spots, I think it's possible. But even if one's not there, they're still going to get either James, Fitzpatrick, Vita Vea, Smith, or Edmonds. They have to. Somebody's got to be there because they're only picking 11th. Everybody can't be gone. So they're going to get a very good player at pick number 11.
Yeah, there'll be somebody. There'll be a good player. It doesn't matter if it's a quarterback or not. Dolphins can't mess this up. There's no way they can
really
mess it up.
They really can't.
Yeah, I don't think Ted Ginn's coming back. I don't think you're going to get that type of pick. There has to be someone good on that board if it'll still be remaining that the Dolphins and we're going to be excited about, whether it's a quarterback or not.
There's only two picks at number 11 that could really upset me. And I will share them right now. I was going to say it for next week, but I'll share it. These are the only two players they could pick that would upset me. One is the wide receiver out of Alabama, Calvin Ridley, just because they don't need him. I don't care what you think of Parker. They do not need another wide receiver on this roster. The other, even though I kind of like him as a player, Miami, he's just not a fit for Miami right now, would be Marcus Davenport. I think he'll be a fine player. Miami has enough of those types of guys right now on the roster. I know you can never have enough pass rushers, but right now Miami would need that linebacker, would need that defensive tackle, quarterback and stuff. They can't take him in round one at pick 11. So those would be the only two guys that would. Even if they took Lamar Jackson at number 11, I would not be upset because I would have faith that Adam Gase must like him enough to think this is worth it. So even if they took Lamar Jackson at number 11, I wouldn't be upset. The only things that would upset me is if they went wide receiver, which would have to be Ridley, or an edge rusher, which would be either Davenport, Harold Landry, somebody like that, just because they don't need that. Miami, you know what they need. Safeties, okay. Even if they went like Ward, if he fell from Ohio State and they picked a cornerback, wouldn't have an issue with it. That's a premium position. That's fine. But they really can't screw this up if they sit at number 11. But look, stranger things have happened. I am a fan of my – we are fans of the Miami Dolphins, and we've been, you know, let down before. So anything's possible. But anything's possible. So never say never, but it'd be really damn hard to screw this up and pick 11. If they did nothing and just stayed put, it'd be hard. Because anybody they add, whether linebacker, safety, corner, defensive tackle, would come in and help right away. The only thing they can't do is take a wide receiver or take an edge rusher, because we just have so many of them. It'd just be overkill at that point.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, 100%. So... that's all we got for today. Bobby, I will have you on next week. I know you're going to do one more mock draft before the draft. We'll have you on the podcast again, talk about that, see if there's any major changes. We'll talk about any news, any rumors out there that we might be hearing with the draft. So thanks for coming out tonight. We'll have you on again next week before the draft. As we wrap up the show here, a few things I want to plug and talk about. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk. Anytime news breaks for instant reaction, that's the place to go. Be sure to check out our website, dolphinstalk.com. We got a ton of new articles up right now, a ton. I even wrote a few this weekend. I haven't wrote a lot of late, but I wrote about three new articles, and one I put out today on three possible guys who the Miami Dolphins might be looking to trade next week in the draft, whether to pick up extra picks or whether to be part of a deal to move up and around to get a higher pick in the round. Check that out. Three names, which you don't be shocked if the Miami Dolphins possibly moved next week in the draft via trade. Also, if you listen to this podcast, be sure to subscribe to it, whether on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean, TuneIn, wherever you listen, be sure to subscribe. I don't say that enough, and I want to start saying that some more. So subscribe to the podcast. Also, I want to thank the other websites that re-air this podcast. They are FinFanatic.com, FinFever.com, TheGruelingTruth.net, and Dolphin-UK.com. Also, the Facebook pages, Fanatics and Doll Fanatics. Check those out as well. Great content on those sites and a lot of good information. Now, today's Tuesday. Unless there's some major news happening, I probably won't do a show on Wednesday, but on Thursday we got a big show with a guest lined up who you're all going to want to hear from. So we'll have a new show out Thursday. And I'm going to be later in the day Thursday because the schedule release is also on Thursday. So I might do a show that'll be out late Thursday, early Friday. So that'll be a show for like late Thursday night, early Friday, where we talk about the schedule release and also my interview with a guest we have lined up that you'll want to hear from. And get his thoughts on the Miami Dolphins. So everyone, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.